Ladies and gentlemen, if you would please welcome welcome to the stage, Scroobius Pip.
It was just me. I've not got anyone to introduce me. Welcome back. It's part two. How are you all? Good. That is a positive reaction. I will take that woo to be friendly rather than fearful. I forgot to take a Polaroid. I've got to take Polaroids for both parts, otherwise Buddy Peace gets mad at me. How many of you have bought a book? Can you all hold your books up and we'll turn the lights up? Is it possible to get the lights up on the lovely people? No, oh, sorry, I should have prepared you. There we go. If you all hold your books up, I'm going to do two. Go on, hold them up. Hold them up! Listen to me! Don't talk amongst yourselves! Thank you. I didn't say put them down. Two parts, so I'm going to do a second one. I'm going to come closer and shoot through yours, if that's all right, mate. Look, just get them ready. And for the recording, I need to change the film. Yes, they did teach me that at photography. I just finished it, didn't I? Can't change it before it's finished. I'm not wealthy. Talk amongst yourselves, guys. This is going to be great for the podcast. Just me changing a film. In fact, oh, God, there's a queue there already. Look at you lot. Aren't you handy? You're good. Well, the first person I'm going to get up is my dad, if that's all right. So if you're about, start making your way to the front, Dad. I'll get you up for a bit of a chat. Don't clap him yet. I've still got to do a Polaroid. We'll clap him in a minute. Right, the noise. Hold up. I didn't invite you on yet, Dad. Get back. Stop there. If you all hold your things up, and then the noise of this camera going off is going to be when the music plays on the episode. Can you hold that as well? Can you hold that?
This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction. This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction. This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction. This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction.
Perfect. Now you can cheer my dad. Hello, sir. How are you? Good, good, good. Is that one on? Is this mic on?
Hello, hello. Yes.
There it is.
There's your Evening Standard. You're in that.
There's my Evening Standard. I've not had that yet. Thank you. Double page spread.
It's open on that one.
Open on that one. Good work, pro. Look at this. Look at this. It's my watches.
I got 47 copies in the carrier
bag. Good work.
Good.
Good work. The budgies will sleep well this month. How you doing? Are you well?
Yeah, getting there.
How have you been dealing with fame these last few months? Because
it's been shocking.
I had my mum and my dad on the podcast, and I've had tons of amazing guests. And Radio 4 did a programme about podcasts, and they asked if they could use a section of one of my podcasts. And they chose my dad on their chatting over Russell Brand, over Simon Pegg.
Yeah,
they were like,
that's quite good.
Have you got that Chris Meads one? I was like, yeah, I have actually.
Yeah, and I listened to it at the services on the M25.
Romantic.
Yeah, yeah. I was on my own at the time, but there we go.
Yeah, I didn't even get to hear it. I think I was away, wasn't I? Or
you
something.
Was,
I think
indeed.
I told you about it.
Yep.
How were your memories 35 years ago of
I just
of
remember the laying there thinking, what's that bang?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that
really
explosion?
Weird. Yeah.
Because I can't remember if we told it on the podcast. I'm sure we did. But the time I cracked my head open and you were in the hospital with us,
you passed out
because of the blood.
Absolutely, yeah.
How were you?
No, it wasn't the blood.
Oh, wasn't
the blood, no.
It was
no,
just
the... Seeing my son there about, was it three or four?
Yeah,
he'd gone
that.
Down the stairs, split his head out, and then they put this... It seemed like a needle this big.
Yeah.
And they put it into the cut on his head. Yeah, he's going really weird there. Like, that's how I felt. And I went down and I had to have an x-ray on my head in case I had a concussion.
Yeah. Because they snapped it or something, didn't they? It poked through.
Yeah, that's right.
And they squirted
it.
Yeah,
oh. Yeah, it was a bit like that.
I loved the story because my mum said that she thought that you were comforting her by patting her on the shoulder.
Yeah, no, I was on my way down.
Passing out.
I was on my way down, yeah.
I'm going. She's like, oh, all right. All right. I'll
see you
later.
It was a bit different.
Yeah.
Nice trainers.
They're all right, aren't they?
Yeah.
Available soon. Yeah,
you don't get a family discount, trust me.
No.
You don't.
They're a limited run, so run.
No, a limited run.
Run, yeah.
Obviously, trainers. Yeah. Teamwork.
There's a big queue, so I'm going to get to them in a minute.
Do it quick.
I want to know where you ate today.
Where I ate today? Yeah. I was Bella Italia.
A Bella Italia?
Yeah.
What was the one that other lad
Risotto.
Recommended?
Nice king Franco, prawn.
Franco Blanco. You should go there next time, apparently.
I will.
Franco Blanca. Manca.
Manca.
All right.
Careful.
Aggressive. And when was the last time you had a Five Guys? Because since the last podcast, I've got you into Five Guys. I've made you a fan.
Last time I had a Five Guys was Sunday.
Nice. Enjoy it.
Yep. I got a card as well.
You've got a card as well. Oh, uh-huh. You did a little contest and got a free card.
I did. Yeah. I got me £25 Five Guys card. I only went on my own, so I'm looking for four other guys now.
Safe. So, hey. All the dad jokes.
Yeah.
Probably got to get that up. Well, thank you very much for coming on the podcast again.
He's got to get it from somewhere, hasn't he?
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you. And happy birthday, by the way.
Cheers. I haven't seen any of my family today. I was like, just come along, I'll get you on stage and we can have a quick moment.
Yeah. So I'll see you on the 12th in Stanford.
Yeah, excellent. In Stanford on the 12th. See you later.
Okay, see you then.
Thank you. Who's next? There's a bit of a gap, so I'll throw a couple more fun snaps. Come up, sir. Yeah, that's your welcome. Nice to meet you. How's it going? This is just on your seat there. And what's your name, sir?
Ben.
Ben, nice to meet you. Thank you for coming along. I feel awkward because people might be bringing their books up now. I've got to do all the signing at the end, otherwise it'll be a really boring podcast if there's a pause each time and just hear me scribbling. Not very interesting explanation there. How you doing? Have you got a question, Ben?
I'm good, yeah. Sorry, first off, I've got to apologise because I was late.
You were late, unbelievable.
Yeah.
They did let me know, actually.
They said,
yeah. Yeah, they said, Ben's here at last.
In the earpiece.
Yeah. Typical.
Big fan of your music, the podcast, listened to it from the beginning, but my question is more about tattoos.
Yes.
I hope it's not too personal, but I've heard you say or I read somewhere that you only get one half of your body tattooed.
I've got tattoos. In fact, this is ideal for me to not have to take my shirt off, as it's on the cover here. there was some disappointment in the crowd there. Thank you. I only get toes on one half. So the guy who did my chest piece was furious because it's a really good design and he's an amazing tattoo artist and he just couldn't finish it. And I also only get outlines. I only like outline because 90% like of tattoos I see, I follow a lot of tattoo artists on Instagram and I know a fair few, and 90% of the tattoos I see, when they've done the first session of outlining, it's when I like it the most. I think it looks amazing because it's so crisp, and then when they do everything else. So I've got, chest piece, bits down the side, a Mr. Heggie piece on my leg, two bits there. The only one I've got on that side is so I could have my Now and Never on my hands.
There's
not really a good story for it. I've got my nipple pierced on that side as well. This is my dangerous side. It's got nipple piercings and tattoos. It's rebellious in the 80s. And this side's very clean and innocent. So, interestingly, I masturbate with my left hand. So
okay, that was my next question.
I noticed one arm was a little bit bigger than the other. Yeah. But that's kind of it. Is there anything else about toes in particular you wanted to ask? You've got a good few.
Compared to some people, not much. But I'm a huge fan of lots of different artists. But it was very interesting to me.
Who are your favourite? Have you got a few that are favourites?
Mr. Cartoon. He does my work. He's based in LA. So
nice.
Very lucky to get tattooed by him. But it's just, I like the meaning behind tattoos and things. And as I say, because I heard that you only get one side, I thought there's got to be.
I like it when I've been out with a few different people who've got a lot of tattoos, and I liked hearing a lot of them when, like, there's not all of their tattoos have meaning, but they're art collectors.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I just collect art. I've got a lot of art on me. There's a lot of things because of TV shows. It has to always be.
Yeah.
Is that because someone died?
Yeah, exactly.
Or something like that. It's like, no, it's because it looks cool.
Yeah.
It's like, why have you got half a lion and like a crane coming out? The bird, a crane, not a crane coming out of it. I was like, it's because it looked cool. I've not got any good meaning on any of my tattoos except for Speech of Element Records, which is the label. But yeah,
no, I just cartoon. I just love his work, I'd rather keep his work on me and just walk around with it. And
exactly,
that's what I like. Yeah, so
saves you going on Instagram.
Exactly.
You just look at your arm. It's brilliant. Well, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
Hello, sir. What is your name?
Hello, my name's Travis.
Nice to meet you, Travis.
Nice to meet you. All right.
Oh, do you work at XFM? Are you?
I'm interning.
Yeah. This guy's great because Dan Rido is also is Rido here.
He's over there somewhere.
There he is.
Spotted him.
I'm going to need you up on stage in a minute, so start making your way over. I want to have a chat with you. Either way, you're allowed to come on this side because you're special. So work your way around, mate. But I think it was Dan that texted me saying, we've got this guy temping here or interning. And he's like, this week, he's been here a week and he's worn a different Scroobius Pip t-shirt every week so far.
Oh, that's awkward.
So thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's really appreciated. And then I walked past you in XFM the other day.
Yes.
And I just played it cool. I was just like, all right.
Well, I didn't know you were coming in.
No,
and I had my Distraction Pieces t-shirt on and just went, hello.
It's brilliant. Because we've chatted on Twitter and stuff a bit as well.
Yeah.
And it was, I just saw the t-shirt. I thought, it's far better if I'm just casual about it. So, all right, mate, you're like, you're all right.
Yeah, kept it really cool.
I also got a text off Chris Jericho.
This is literally the coolest thing that's ever happened.
So
ever.
I had Chris Jericho on the podcast, and then a day later, I think you were at Radio 1 at the time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He texts me saying, I've just got to Radio 1, and this kid's got a Distraction Pieces t-shirt. It's amazing. That's how I read his texts. And it put me over really well with Jericho, because he's like, this guy must be really famous, because the first place I've gone, there's t-shirts of him. It's like you're the only guy there who knows Distraction Pieces, but
you're welcome.
It worked, so thank you very much, Travis. Have you got a question, sir?
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to bring it up, but I wanted to bring your attention to my tattoo.
Oh, nice!
Which I've not shown.
A tattoo of my signature and Dan Lesac's signature.
Yes, so that was that. I just wanted to show you that.
I like it. Well, thank you very much for getting that.
Just putting myself over. And the other thing was to alienate a lot of the crowd. I just wanted to ask you if you were booking WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Would you have any ideas?
Oh, God. Well, Seth has to be... I genuinely think it wouldn't... It's not too soon for Nakamura to be at WrestleMania. I think he could debut... I was talking to someone the other day. I can't remember if it was on a podcast or not, but we were saying it'd be great if you had Seth the... whoever. I think the rivalry with Finn could continue on. I think Finn's amazing. Yeah. But if you had Brock booked as just... mystery opponent or whatever, the second Nakamura's green light bit hits, the crowd
the
would go absolutely mental. Everyone who isn't into wrestling, there's a guy in wrestling at the moment called Shinsuke Nakamura, and his main influences, and this will blow you away of what your views of wrestling are, his main influences are Freddie Mercury and Michael Jackson.
What a man.
And he's Japanese. And I played an interview of his to my brother the other day, who isn't into wrestling, because I was like, you've just got to see this guy. He's the most charismatic guy I've ever seen. And he's just
like
this weird dude. But
it looks like something of Street Fighter, I think.
And there's a bit of Akira.
Yeah.
Like his music comes out, he wears a red jacket and he does weird movements and weird dances. One of his main moves, he'll push you against the fence, the ropes, then just pop his head on your chest and hang his arms down.
It's just loosey-goosey.
And then walk away. And people will be like, what the fuck just happened? And that's the wrestlers are thinking that, the crowd are thinking that. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I love it. Yeah, I'd have Brock and Nakamura, because they fought in Japan ages ago as well. I'd keep this Seth Finn rivalry going, and then on SmackDown, oh no, maybe I'd drop Seth, or I'd drop Finn and go for Kevin Owens.
See, he's my other one.
I'd do Seth, Kevin Owens, and then if Ambrose is still champion, which he probably will... No, I don't know. I'd do someone against Cesaro on the... Mm. No, well, Cesaro's on Raw, isn't he, actually?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd do on SmackDown.
There's
Bray Wyatt v. Ambrose. I love Bray.
Good.
Anyway, everyone else is bored. That's our WrestleMania booking.
Asleep. But yeah, thanks.
Well, thank you very much for coming along. Cheers.
Cheers, man.
Would you mind waiting a second? If Rido's made his way over, is it all right if I bring you up on stage? Where are you? That you came this way. All right, well, come on. This gentleman here, did anyone listen to the beatdown? This is the other half of the beatdown. This is Dan Rido. Thank you for coming along, man.
No worries. How's it going?
How you doing?
Yeah, good, good.
When you said that you were coming along, I wanted to get you up and have a bit of a chat, because the beatdown was very much the two of us, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
kind
good
of
fun.
You and Eddie Temple Morris kind of showed me how to do a radio show.
Yeah.
And twisted my arm and talked me into it.
And now look at you, you're walking on your own.
Yeah, I'm doing it all on my own two feet. The other part, and reason for getting you off stage, was we won a Sony Award, or two Sony Awards.
We did, yeah.
And the beautiful part, it was this amazing moment we didn't expect to win. I've told it a few times, was when they were giving the introduction, they were describing, like, before saying who it is, they described a non-linear maverick was their description, and we looked at each other like,
what the fuck's that mean? Yeah.
That basically means sloppy and shit. It's like, that's got to be us. And then we won. And I went up and I thanked everyone. And I genuinely thought I was then going to be passing the mic to you.
Right.
And then we just left stage. Yeah. So I stood next to Dan, who's worked on every episode with me, thanked everyone other than Dan Rido, who was the other half of it. So I wanted to, most of all, just thank you and get a round of applause for your work on the beatdown. But
I'll take you off the list now.
Yeah, I'm okay. But how did you find it? Because it was a weird run, because we had people like Run the Jewels on before they were big, and Childish Gambino and Young Fathers, people who went on to win stuff.
We met some heroes and stuff, it was good. And then we finished, and we had Grandmaster Flash.
We had Grandmaster Flash as our closer.
This guy wants to come in and talk to you guys.
Yeah.
It was really cool, yeah.
It was just insane, wasn't it? Because it was just me, you and Flash in a studio. And Flash on the decks.
Showing us how to DJ.
Yeah.
Like we don't know.
I'd kind of said to him, here's my kind of plan. And he's like, just start playing and I'll show you how we're going to do this. Yeah. And he's like, sweet.
Yeah.
Like, I'd planned the show a bit and I was like, right, let's just let Flash just take over.
He totally knew what he was doing, hey?
And we just watched Flash really just teach us how.
And he called him Mr. Scroobius all the way
through. He kept calling him a Mr. Scroobius.
Yeah,
he's like, I'll tell you, Mr. Scroobius.
Yeah,
God,
it was very cool. It's very cool.
That was a beautiful way to end the show, wasn't it? How's everything going over at Radio X Castle?
Yeah,
now?
We changed. We're Radio X. Rage R Day today. We held. That means nothing to anyone here. So
you did well.
Yeah, it was good.
I was in there with a Kennedy the other night in the studios I've not been in, and it looks slick as
fuck.
It's
amazing,
it's
isn't it? Yeah,
it's
like a spaceship. Yeah.
We used to have to do our show in like a cupboard, essentially.
Yeah,
and
a room.
We often couldn't get stuff to work.
Yeah,
we'd have to ring for help.
Me, not you, going like, what the fuck's this doing?
Or you couldn't get stuff to work, and then we'd ring a tech, and they'd come up and go, yeah, that's not working.
Yeah. It was never me, though, was it?
No.
It was always something broken.
It was always something broken. Yeah. The tech would come up and say it doesn't work, and then we'd just have to, to muster through. But
talk amongst yourselves. And yeah.
Yeah, it was good fun. Well, thank you very much, Dan.
Can I have some stickers?
Yeah, have a load. Help yourself,
I'll
mate.
Get some for Steve. Steve produced the show once, and you never thanked him.
Steve
brings
produced
that up
me once.
All the
I didn't
time.
Thank him, and I intentionally didn't thank him, because I hated that episode.
That's what I said. That's exactly what I said. But he's got some stickers now that'll make up for it.
He's got some stickers now to make up for it.
All right, nice one.
Well, thanks for coming along, man. Right. See you soon.
Pleasure.
Make some noise. Sir, sorry for making you wait. Hello.
Hello, mate. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. And what's your name, sir?
I'm Roger.
Nice to meet you. I just remembered I hadn't put my phone on airplane mode. I wasn't just being rude. And
I don't know.
So Roger's here. I'll send some texts.
You've got business to do, man. Don't worry about it.
No. How are you today?
I'm full of Haribo, actually.
Excellent. Full of Haribo is the way to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want more people tomorrow. Anyone who's asked, how are you today, say full of Haribo, mate. Even if you're not, let's just make it slang.
Yeah,
let's just make it slang from Wicked. How was your day? Full of Haribo, buddy. Full of Haribo.
Someone has to be.
Yeah, exactly. And what would you like to discuss or ask?
So two things. One is on Say Why to Drugs, would you consider doing an episode on performance-enhancing drugs? So
yeah.
Nandrolone and estrogen blockers and so on.
It'd be an interesting one, because Dr. Susie Gage, who is the only person on there who has any knowledge or intelligence, her studies and specialisation is in recreational drugs. So that might not be something that she's specialised in. But if she's are willing to put the research in and look into it, I'm well up for that. I find the term performance enhancing drugs confusing, and Chow Sonnen has talked on this a few times, because any drug you take is performance enhancing. If you take cold tablets so you haven't got a cold, that's, if you're a professional athlete, that's it's not illegal, it's not banned, but it's to enhance your performance. If you take vitamins that aren't banned,
because he was talking about caffeine recently,
wasn't
it?
You're trying to enhance your performance. If you're a professional athlete, why would you be having anything that isn't trying to enhance your performance? It's a kind of weird blanket term that they have.
Although Diaz just getting stoned all the time probably doesn't help.
Yeah, the Diaz brothers were, or Nick, sorry, was banned for having weed in him. So that ain't enhancing much.
Wouldn't have thought so, no. The other thing I was going to ask is that you've made it quite clear that you don't agree with the current political system.
Yeah.
Do you have any views on how it could be changed, or what would be a more appropriate system?
Mass uprising and murders would be a good start.
Your brother could lead it.
But yeah, it'd be fine with that. But again, I don't think people are going to be too down for that. I don't know. I think there's a lot of variations. I don't think I've discussed on the podcast, but when I was on Joe Rogan's podcast, again, I don't think we've got a democracy. And I also don't think that we should only have one choice of ocracy. I think it should be, we should look at all the options. If democracy is still the right choice, then that's fine. And an argument that I came up with, which I've not heard a good argument against yet, was that our votes are weighted, that you go to the voting poll and there's a little questionnaire on current policy, the relevant policy in the poll. If you get all the answers wrong, your vote is worth one. If you get all, say it's five, if you get all five right, your vote is worth six,
because so it's the one
plus the five. And yeah, it encourages people to be educated on it. And again, like when I've debated this with people, they say, oh, but people will just do research to get a higher score. It's like, wicked.
Yeah. Cool. Sounds good to me.
That sounds really good. They'll educate us as well.
I cheated by learning lots of things.
And other people, like, well, people on the day will text round and let people know what the questions are. It's like, so on the day of an election, the five most important topics will be discussed. It's like, again, cool, cheat all you like. That sounds yeah, wicked. And I think that'd be a good way of changing it. Because again, it's tough. Everyone wants democracy, and then we bitch and moan when a UKIP or someone gets more seats. If you want democracy, then you want the racists to have as much of a say as the non-racists and things like that, which, again, I'm kind of cool with, but it annoys me when people are angry. It annoyed me after the last election, and that's where I stepped off a lot, because I was against our democratic system leading up to the election, and I didn't think it worked. I didn't think it was right. And then the day after the election, everyone who didn't get their way was like, the democratic system is broke. This is bullshit. It's like, it was broke yesterday. And when you thought you were going to get your way out of it, when you thought you could bend it to your will, you're all right with it. You don't have a right to moan about it the day after because you've not got your way. That feels like you're throwing your toys out the pram. Going, yeah. I didn't want the scary Tories. No one did. They're fucking idiots. But that's the system we're in under at the moment.
Well, John Oliver said that on February the 22nd, then there should be electoral reform debate in America, because that's when there's nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Everybody's got where they're going to get to, so there's nothing to lose. And if they're still holding on to that, saying we need electoral reform on that date, then they're not full of shit.
Completely. I'm fine with being angry, but everyone just gets angry at the wrong time. It's like you chill out on your anger when you should be the most angry, in my opinion. So, yeah. But as I said, I try not to talk about politics too much, because I also think, I know from my experience that as an angsty teenager, I'd look at people in the public eye and go, I agree with them, without doing my own research. So if Russell Brand sits there and says, don't vote, I would have been the teen going, yeah, you're right, they're all the same. And then if someone had said to me, on what policies are they all the same? I'd be like, they're all the same. So I didn't have the knowledge or research. If you've come to your own decision to not vote, I fully support that. But yeah, it's why I avoid it, because I feel I'm not a politician, and I've in recent years, and having gone previously from going, I've gone door to door with Billy Bragg to get people out to vote in Barking, and we got UKIP out of Barking. It was amazing. And I've written political songs, obviously, that have been used in different marches and stuff like that. But I've got to the point where I believe my political beliefs are for me, and I have to live by my beliefs, but because I live in a country that doesn't support my beliefs, if you know what I mean. So unless I can get everyone to, as said, rise up and kill a lot of people, which I don't think
you
I'm going to be able to
change
convince
it from within.
I haven't got the energy for that anymore. But yeah, so that's kind of where I'd waver on it all. I know that's a bit of a vague and rambling, but it's yeah.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Cheers, man. A Wednesday night politics. How you doing, sir? What's your name?
I'm good. I'm Chris.
Nice to meet you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thanks for having us at your party.
Thank you. Thank you all for paying to come along to my party.
I've gatecrashed it a bit. It's my brother's party, so I've kind of told it's for him as well.
Good work. Yeah, no, hijack it. I mean, I'm being outrageous by charging you all to come and hang out with me. That's like when you see people off Celebrity Big Brother that you can pay to have them come to your birthday or something. It's kind of what's happened here, except I've dressed it up to be cooler. Anyway, go ahead, Chris.
I wanted to talk a bit about music. I'm a music teacher or failed musician.
Wicked.
And I use you as an example.
Thank you.
Number one, you know, your career. I mean, who else has a Wednesday night sold out at Leicester Square Theatre?
Exactly, just to chat.
Exactly.
Crazy.
But secondly, in the schools I teach, kids like to sing, so they do pop or rock, or yeah, they don't like to sing and they do grime.
Yeah.
Which is a bit awkward when you're from Lewis and they're talking about shanking people in Waitrose for stealing the last sprig of asparagus.
Yeah.
So I like to show them that, you know, they're, if you have an educated and open mind, the kind of stuff you can come up with.
Yeah.
And I always play 1,000 words and it blows their mind.
Wicked.
So I wanted to ask a bit about creation. Like, when was the first time you created something? And how did that come about? How did you start putting it into a musical form?
It's really tough. I guess I started writing lyrics in punk bands, just writing little punk songs that no one ever heard. That I had books and books of lyrics that were probably absolutely awful. And then I started to write some rap stuff. And again, I think I did a bit of it at the last live podcast, but I had one of the first lines I wrote was all thuggy. I was all like, oh, I might stab you, you don't know. It wasn't saying I will, but it's saying you don't know, do you?
I might.
You don't know, I might. What might I do? You don't know me. And then, yeah, it was people like Sage Francis and Saul Williams and people like this that made me kind of go, damn, you can sound good, have flows and do all these other exciting things, but also have content and topics discussed and have this openness. So, yeah, it was hugely exciting. But equally, I'd stress, as I'm sure you do, as a teacher, there's space for all sorts of music. It doesn't all have to be heavy and contentful. I think music would be terrible if everyone sounded like me. I like doing my stuff, but I also like listening to Sean Paul just talking about how awesome threesomes are, how they're cracking, and he doesn't care what people say or do, and stuff like that. And every day, and how he needs a shag every day. I love hearing reggae cool guy Sean Paul use the term shag.
Shag.
I love it. I don't mean to brag. Every day I've got to shag.
There's that new...
That's brilliant. That could be a Cockney singer going, I love it.
There's that new Grimes song out about brushing your teeth.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
It's amazing.
A Lady Leisha's absolutely amazing. And she's amazing because she writes such, like, every line is a punchline. She's absolutely hilarious. I highly recommend her Queen's Speech EP, which is Queen's Speech 4 is the one that's got a brush your teeth in. I think Queen's Speech 3 was about changing your underwear. So she's genuinely, it sounds ridiculous, but she's hilarious and funny and offensive with all of it. But yeah, check her out. But again, it's good. There's people like a Lady Leisha and Little Sims and a load of others at the moment. At the same time as you've got Grime absolutely killing it, like Stormzy and Skepta and people like that. If you're into grime or not, you should be excited about what they're doing. This is young people from deprived areas making their own scene and making their own labels and making their own business, when traditionally in music they would be being exploited by rich white people who've been in the scene for ages. So the beauty of what's going on there is they're creating their own shit and making this huge buzz. So yeah, I love it.
It's authentic as well, I think.
Yeah, yeah, completely. It's not quite authentic in Lewis. So yeah, but yeah, again, it's finding what you know and talking about it. It's why I write so much fiction, because I come from a small town in Essex, and it's not the nicest of town. It is rough in places, but I write a lot of fiction because I didn't feel at the start that my life was interesting enough to write about other than, as what you were saying, what the kids will be writing about in your area. So again, it's finding that. It's finding that place for, or finding those topics and subjects.
Awesome. And one little side one.
Go on.
You mentioned it in one of your drunk podcasts. You just slipped in there, just a funny quote. So I just wanted to find out, what's your favourite Alan Partridge quote?
Oh, there's loads. There was when we... I can't remember if I told this on the podcast, because I might know the one you mean, but when my brother works the door for us at the club night, and when me and Stu were talking about, we were open till 4 one week, and we were discussing how much extra we were going to pay him, and I just text back going, tell you what. And it was only £1,500, so we didn't really pay him very much at all. But yeah, that's the one bit that has stuck in my head for so long. Regularly, I'll just think, tell you what. But yeah, I love Partridge.
Brilliant.
Thank you very much, sir. Cheers. Thank you. Have some stickers. I'm gonna end as I think Stu made it in. If Stu's here, I'm gonna end on Stu. So that's something for you all to look forward to, as you're probably excited to hear that fat-headed idiot. How you doing, man? What's your name?
Ben.
What?
Ben.
Ben.
Yep.
I thought it was just a noise at first.
I think I was very close to the microphone to start with.
Yeah, so, sorry. What's your name? Jesus, you're taking the Viking thing too seriously. Just coming and screaming at me.
It's the biggest compliment you could pay me.
No, it's good. I love Vikings. Do you watch the series,
Great
Vikings?
Show.
It's fucking
Great
brilliant,
show.
Isn't
yeah,
it? It makes me
awesome.
Just want to be a Viking. I
shouldn't
love
be
it.
Allowed to watch it because I get too pumped up, though.
Me too. I love it. And the main guy is just, he's gorgeous.
Bit of a man crush on
oh,
him.
Oh, his eyes.
Used to be a Calvin Klein model.
Fair play.
No homo.
I'd buy his pants.
Absolutely.
Have you got a question, Ben?
No, we're just going for homoeroticism, really.
Excellent.
Someone earlier on stole my question a little bit, but how do you feel about performance-enhancing drugs in MMA as a whole?
I think it needs to be clearer. It needs to be defined clearer. For anyone who's not into mixed martial arts, they've recently brought in far stricter testing for performance-enhancing drugs. I think it's a good thing. It's ruining a lot of our events, but it had to get worse before it got better, because the fact is there's going to be a lot of people who were previously doing it and things like that. And in things like running, I'm not that fast.
There's no consequences.
Like, you're a grown-up, take your own risks.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I want to see who can run the fastest.
I think they should let them all take steroids and yeah. see 8-second 100 metres.
Sweet. I'm well up for that. If, you know, it's your own risk, blah, blah, blah. But in any combat sport, it's your own risk. But it's increasing your advantage or the damage that you could do against someone else who may be not on performance enhancing drugs. Yeah. And I don't like the idea of that, of everyone being on it and just pushing each other further. I'm gutted for some of the events that we've lost, but I think it's for the best.
Do you think they've always been used to the level they are now,
oh,
and
yeah.
just the testing's caught up?
Yeah, it's the same with Will Smith gave a really good quote recently that. It was something along the lines that murders of black people aren't happening more, they're being filmed more. And I think it's exactly the same. I don't think there's suddenly a burst now in performance-enhancing drugs that happens to have happened when they're testing more. They're testing more, so they're catching more people. So, yeah, I think it's a natural thing. And I think it's for the best, and it'll gradually... It's my favourite sport, and I know a lot of people aren't into it, but the more it's tested, the more it's... checked upon, the more it legitimizes it.
Yeah, I think it still suffers a bit from almost like the WWE sort of thing.
Yeah,
like a bit of a freak show still.
Yeah, completely. And people think it's just meatheads in cages fighting each other. I'm not interested in that. And some of the low levels are that. I love the combat of the highest level.
And you look at someone like Dan Hardy, who sort of takes it to like
yeah
that level as a martial artist.
Yeah, but, yeah, he's into his yoga and sh-
yeah. For him to be fighting someone who's on performance enhancing drugs is just disrespectful to.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, I'm on board. I agree.
Cool.
Well, thank you very much, Ben. Cheers. Come on up. You made it out. That was, was fine. No one noticed you stagger slightly.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. What's your name?
Sheikah. Happy birthday, by the way.
What was that name?
Sheikah.
Sheikah.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And how are you today?
I'm all right.
And what would you like to discuss or ask?
Album cover art, like that whole process.
It really varies. Let me think. The first album cover for Angles, we were with Thou Shalt Always Kill. We signed with a label called Lex, and they were really into their cover art, and they paired us up with an artist called Jock Mooney, who then made all of the single artwork and the album covers and things like that. And on the last one, on Repent, Replenish, a Repeat, it was basically an artist I liked on Instagram. I followed his work on Instagram. I really enjoyed him, and we hit him up and said, are you up for doing some artwork? And Dan took over and went back and forth and was like, Pip likes lions, so let's do a lion. And Dan likes pandas, so let's do a panda. And then let's have loads of weird shit coming out of them. It's not really a logical process in any way, but yeah, it's enjoyable.
But yeah, it's just generally whatever comes.
Yeah, it's just ideas and that. And again, it'll often be, we'll either put stuff out there to people in general and say, has anyone got any ideas or does anyone want to put anything forward? And then, it's both me and Dan are fans of art, and we follow a lot of art or photography or other things. So there'll more often than not be someone that we're into that will go, let's see if they can do it. And if we can afford them, then we go that way.
you pretty much got everyone you wanted then.
Yeah, yeah, completely. And Mr. Heggie was another one that, again, he's designed tons of the artwork, the podcast artwork, and tons of the stickers and designs. And again, I'm just a fan of his artwork. He's one of my favourite people on Instagram. But because if anyone follows him on Instagram, he seems like the most offensive, creepy, horrible weirdo. And that's exactly who he is. And it's brilliant.
Weirdos are fun.
Yeah, they're the best kind. That's my favourite kind of weirdo. Top five, anyway. But yeah, he's great. So thank you very much. If that answers your questions.
All right.
Thank you. Cheers, have some stickers.
See ya.
Man, I'm building such a fan base of wrestling fans. I see your Seth Rollins t-shirt. I'm sorry for everyone who's not into wrestling or MMA. They won't all be on that subject, but I love that shit. What's your name, sir?
Bradley.
Bradley, and what would you like to discuss?
Wrestling, surprisingly.
Excellent.
But first of all, I want to say I love you.
Thank you.
And thank you for doing this, and I love your interaction with the fans, and I like a lot of mainstream artists, and I just like how... Even though you're still very successful, you're down to earth. And I like that you keep the love for the fans that have been there from the beginning. And also, no one's mentioned...
I kicked a homeless person on the way here. I don't know if anyone clocked that. I was on my own, but fuck it. Sorry, go on.
Also, I love The Bastard Executioner. And I love that you're getting into acting.
I've not seen The Bastard Executioner yet. In fact, last time I was here, I just started on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just started on it and I've still not seen it, but the first episode aired last night on History.
It's
and
so fucking good.
Yeah, I'm hyped for it. It was insane to get involved and be involved. I don't want to give spoilers, but me and Ed Sheeran do fight with swords at one point. And you've seen the size of that little pussy. So no spoilers, but I'm going to give a visual spoiler so I don't go putting it on record, but I love it, really. But yeah, it's amazing. I'm loving it, so thank you.
And I'm glad you're getting into, because I love films and TV and stuff.
Wicked.
So I'm glad you're getting into acting, because then it's just more reason to see you, and I'm happy to fund you as much as possible.
Mate, you're my favourite person at the moment. I'm loving this.
Fuck yeah!
It's crazy, because, again, I'm exactly the same, man. I'm just a TV and film fan, and the fact is I've done three things so far. And in those three, I've worked with Guy Ritchie, Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy, with David Moyer, or Vampire Bill, as I insist on calling him in all situations, Kurt Sutter, Tom Hardy, Stephen Graham, Tom Hollander, Stephen Knight, just so many amazing people. And it's like, I'm early on and I'm learning. I still don't know if I'm any good yet. I'm doing my best, but getting to work with people like that, it's an amazing route, an amazing... amazing opportunity. I had my agents hit me up asking if I wanted to audition for Fast and Furious, like the next one. And they were like, I don't know if you'd be into this. And I had to write them an email saying, who the fuck do you think I am? As if I'd turned down fucking, like, genuinely, they thought I would feel I'm above one of the biggest film franchises of all time. And right, I'm not saying the Fast and Furious films are going to... win Oscars. I really enjoyed the last one, incidentally, like, completely seriously. I thought it was absolutely mental, but I loved it. But if I'm learning, imagine that as a place to learn. Do you know what I mean? I'd imagine a role I get in a Fast and Furious film, I wouldn't need to put in an Oscar-winning performance. And that's not disrespectful, but they'd probably cast me within my limits. So I was like, I thought it was crazy that my agent was like, I'm not sure if you'd be into this, but I was like, fucking yeah, give me it. I don't think I got it, but
I think
still,
you'd be a good... I'd love to typical English bad guy.
Yeah, English bad guy. Just looking all mean
and
that.
Evans.
Yeah.
Next logical step.
Makes perfect
sense.
Gone
from no hair to a bit of a beard.
Exactly. I'm no intimidation on Vin Diesel either. I'm the opposite. I'm hairy and skinny. He's got no hair and he's muscly. And then they cast The Rock, who's got less hair and is musclier. So it's like, go the other way. Go longer and hairier. That's my pitch. But yeah, I'm loving it, as I said, and I appreciate your support, and yeah, love that.
Okay, so my question is, because I kind of had my question stolen earlier.
Typical.
But if you was a wrestler,
yes.
Okay, and it was your dream debut,
yeah.
Presuming with WWE,
yeah.
What would your entrance music be, finisher, and who is your dream opponent?
Right.
And would you win? Are you putting yourself over?
I put myself over in my first match.
Love
I want to have a long career. I'm happy to put others over down the line. Me and my brother used to enjoy wrestling, and on holiday once, we came up with our wrestling characters. Yes. And I came up with a priest called Father David. And I would wear a priest shirt with a priest collar, but with the sleeves cut off to show off my muscles. I made a finisher. It was kind of like a pedigree.
I'm happy to take it.
I don't want to hurt you. It's kind of like a pedigree, but with their heads in the small of my back. So I've lifted their arms like that, and I called it the baptism because it's like
genius.
Because I'm driving their head
fucking
into the mat. So I'd get them in the baptism, then bang, they're out for the count. I'd want to protect the finisher as well, because there's not been a move like the DDT in years where just one of them, no one ever kicks out of them. So I'd fucking baptise some mug. I'd baptise a nobody, though. I wouldn't kick a big person. I'd have a squash match. I'd fight John Thompson.
Brilliant.
From Idaho. And then I'd just beat him up, put him in the baptism.
And what would your entrance music be? Would it be one of your... Presuming you are still Screw's Pip, would it be your own stuff, or would you pick something else?
I mean, all of a sudden, it seems like I planned Thou Shalt Always Kill. All of a sudden, it feels like this is a long game to a wrestling career. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I'd make a more religious version, like musically religious version of Thou Shalt Always Kill, or Letter from God to Man, or something like that. Just one of the religious ones.
Brilliant.
Be good.
Also, I'd like to say, I saw you about a month ago.
Kicking a tramp.
Close enough. Outside of Progress.
Sleeping with a tramp. Sorry.
Outside of Progress gig.
Yes.
And you was lovely then, and you're lovely now.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. I love Progress.
Glad you're just an awesome person as well as a great
Thank you very much for coming along, man.
No worries.
Thank you. Cheers. Have some stickers. Cheers, buddy. Hello, what's
Hello.
Your name?
I'm Hannah.
Nice to meet you, Hannah. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Good. And what would you like to discuss?
Well, my friend asked me to ask a question, but fuck her.
Okay.
We'll do our own question.
Excellent.
I'm going to my first Progress Wrestling in September.
Excellent. At Brixton.
Yeah.
On the 25th.
On the 25th. Could you... I've never been before. Can you sell it to me? What would you tell someone that their first time?
Mate, it's amazing. It's a load of fat metalers watching wrestling. It's not only fat metalers, I'm joking, but no, it's honestly, and we talk about it on the Drunk Cast a bit, and obviously a lot of people aren't going to be into wrestling, but Progress, if you don't know, is an independent British company, and they're known as, they were first billed as like punk rock wrestling and wrestling for grown-ups, so it's not all just hardcore stuff, it's just kind of, it's just really entertaining, so just go there and be ready for the wit of the fans, because they're going to make a lot of chants that make you laugh out loud. And just absolutely enjoy it. I'll be going to that one all day long. I can't wait for it.
Does it help to be drunk?
They all drink a lot there, yeah. It's funny because I don't really drink much other than on the Drunk Casts. Mm-hmm. Like, I drink like once a month. But Jim, who hosts Progress, who's the ring announcer, is completely teetotal and straight edge. Yet he gets excited. He's like, we're going to have an interval now. Get as many drinks in here as possible. It's like, you don't even agree with drinking. But everyone there will be hammered and they'll be loving it. There was a guy at the one at the weekend, and me and Chris were watching. Has anyone seen Dazed and Confused? He looked exactly like Mitch from Dazed and Confused. And he had his long hair. And he was sat like this. Seriously, he was the skinniest kid I've ever seen. And he just kept... It was in the front row. Just kept falling asleep. But just with a big grin. And it was just because he was so wasted. He just kept falling asleep, and then a chant would start, and he'd start joining in the chant, just with his eyes closed, just in his sleep, just chanting along. I love it. But yeah, you're going to have a great time there.
Am I? Good. Excellent.
Yes, enjoy it. Well, thank you for coming along tonight as well.
Cheers.
Thank you. Have some stickers. Who is next? That's a wonderful vest you're wearing. I'm a fan.
Why, thank you. You told me to buy it on Instagram, so
excellent, yep. Do as you're told.
I'm quite easily led.
Excellent. Good work. What is your name?
Alexia.
Alexia, nice to meet you. And what would you like to discuss or ask?
I'm slightly worried I'm going to kill the vibe. But, okay. A lot of your podcasts are about mental health issues and kind of the sadder side of life. But I think when you talk about death, you've got a really positive attitude to it. And I don't really know anyone else who has such a positive attitude, even when considering suicide and that kind of thing. So what I wanted to know is, if and when you die, sorry to his parents, how do you want to be remembered? Do you want to be remembered? What should be done about this?
I mean, I'm not that fussed about if I'm remembered or not, because I'll be
That's
dead.
Sad.
Doesn't really affect me, though, does it? I'm sure some people will remember me. Like,
if you think about the people that you've lost and how much you celebrate them, wouldn't you like that? The people that love you,
sure, but as I said, it's not really my problem then. Do you know what I mean? Like, again, because I don't particularly believe in anything after death, if people get some happy memories from me, then that's great. But that's the same like while I'm alive. If people can think of something and have a nice time about it, then that's great. Assembly when I'm dead. But yeah, I do think it's hugely important to discuss death more and address death more. There's a miscellaneous chapter in the book, and I had to get something from my chat with Carla Valentine on, which wasn't one of the biggest... it was a decent-sized episode, but it's not like the huge numbers ones. And she was going to come along tonight, but couldn't make it. But she's a pathologist, a pathology and a mortician, and a big advocate of talking about death more and removing the taboo of death. And I had to get a chat with her in like, it didn't fit into any of the sections, and I added a miscellaneous section at the end just to get her in and Alan Moore talking about magic, because those were two things. I was like, these need to be in the book, these are crazy.
Linked.
yeah they are linked, but yeah, I think it's really important.
Okay, thank you very much.
And I think, as I said, I think the more, I think it comes partly from my nan. My mum has never liked it, but my nan, every time she'd go on holiday, I used to say, and from years early, like, say, so if I die, here's where this is and here's where that is and things like that. And my mum would be like, that's morbid, that's terrible. When I kind of grew up with that, thinking, no, it's not, because we are dead. Like, everyone here, spoiler alert, every one of you is going to die, and everyone you love is going to die, and everyone you've ever met is going to die, and everyone you haven't met is going to die. It's all right, though. See, you didn't have to worry about it being
that.
A downer. I've got that covered. Thank you for coming along. Cheers. Have some stickers. Hello, Sarah.
Are you right?
Yes, I'm good. How are you? What is your name?
Thank you. Henry.
Henry. Nice to meet you, Henry. And what would you like to discuss?
I was wondering, has there ever been a point where, due to pressures of, like, either audience or anything else, you feel like your art has been compromised, or you've felt the need to do something which you haven't necessarily felt?
No, not really. I think it's important to do what you want in many ways. I think it's why I'm lucky in that the first album that me and Dan made, we didn't expect anyone to hear, and it got in the top 40. So the fact we didn't expect anyone to hear it meant we were just making it how we wanted to, not thinking about anyone other than ourselves, and that was successful. And that's why that's kind of gone throughout the whole career, if you know what I mean. Like, tonight, the guys at the theatre were backstage, were like, have you got it planned out? I was like, no, not really. But the podcast isn't really planned out. And if they're fans of the podcast, they're kind of all right with that, kind of just doing it how you want to naturally do it. So I don't know, because I've built a career on doing things my way, I've never felt that much pressure to please anyone else.
No.
I don't know if that's selfish or
no,
what.
That's a nice position to be in, I suppose. I'm a musician as well, and a lot of... I've gone through quite a lot of phases. I was like, I'm a violinist, I'm like classically trained and all that sort of thing. But I've gone through loads of, sort of been into like traditional music, which is odd, and then now I do sort of weird electronical violin weird shit that not really anyone really wants to listen to, but which is great.
Plug your shit in case someone wants to listen to it. Like, where can people listen to your weird electronic violin? I mean, you've sold it terribly. You said plug it.
Henry Webster Music.
Henry there Webster Music. Good.
I'm going to have some right piss takes for this.
No, that's all good. As I said, I mean, it's a weird one, because it's a balance, because although I've said all that, make no mistake, particularly live gigs, that belongs to you people who have paid to get in. And me and Dan have always been adamant on that we will endeavour to give the crowd as good a time as we can. It's not about us going, artistically, here is what I wish to express. That's what we do on record, and that's what we do on things like that. But live, obviously, it's working within our own back catalogue, so it's still no real compromise, but we will try and make sure that we give the most enjoyable night out that we can, rather than go, well, if you don't enjoy it, then it's your failing kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? So it's I guess there is compromise there, but yeah, it's not a compromise I've struggled with as such. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
HenryWebsterMusic.com. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello, I'm very well. How are you?
And what is your name?
I'm Nick.
You look a little bit like one of the guys that works here. And when I saw you coming up, I thought we were being told to wrap it up. Interestingly, I chose to wear all black tonight. I've done this before at theatres. It's never a good choice. I genuinely came in and the lovely young ladies are selling the books. I popped in. I was like, oh, just so like we're going to sell in the interval and before and at the end, just so we can get as many in and it, not all one rush at the end. And she was like, all right, do you work here? And I was like, no, that... But because I've dressed like I work here, she just thought I worked in the theatre. So it's a tough one. I assumed you worked here because you're in dark clothes. I can only apologise.
So I'm straight from work. I had to look respectable.
It's perfect. Do you work in a theatre?
No, I don't.
That'd be awesome. What would you like to ask or discuss?
I was looking to have a brief chat with you about mental health, just to bring the mood down again.
No, let's. I love it.
It's something that you've had a lot on, from your music to the podcast, everything you've done, even just to on the drunk cast having a chat with your mates
that was
while drunk.
I mean, not to interrupt, that was one of the most important bits, I think, on the last episode of the drunk cast. Everyone talked about Craig and his story, but the thing that was really pleasing, and a few people commented on this, was three drunk blokes talking about mental health and talking about our friend who committed suicide and stuff like that, and not in a negative, miserable way, just discussing it. And not to try and make the drunk casts into something any way more highbrow than they are, but I think topics can be discussed and debated and become more relatable if it's just some drunk blokes rambling about
it. Yeah, that's kind of the point I wanted
to make.
More
so than being lectured to. Yeah, go ahead,
sir. Yeah, because it's always been quite a taboo thing. Yeah. I've suffered from mental health issues myself, and I've gone through life with it always thinking, I can't tell people about this. They're going to look at me weird or go, are you all right?
Yeah.
But as I've got older and as it's become with more things like what you're doing, it's becoming more open and people are talking about it a lot more. And I am more open about it. And I'm happy to discuss it with people.
Yeah.
Even going down the pub with my mates, just having a few drinks, we'll get a drunk and just chat about it.
It's crazy. It blows my mind that that is ever not the case. And I've rambled on this before, but from the dawn of time, discussing your mental health problems has been a solution. That's how humans are wired to work. It's why you'd have shaman and the elders of a tribe and stuff like that. They were effectively counselors. You'd go to the shaman to tell you of your future. It's not telling you of your future, it's discussing your problems and what your fears are and all this kind of thing. You'd go to the elders for advice. Where we built into these weird cities and communities, we all became connected through social media, yet we all stopped communicating on anything of any great importance. You've seen the shit I post on social media. It's rarely relevant or important. I'll sit up at night and post six pictures from films in a row just because I'm bored. But again, it's weird that we don't I use all these things, but it's exciting that with the podcast and with some music and that over the years that... And it's weird because it's stuff... I would often have people say that in music I address stuff that's morbid or that's taboo. And a lot of it, I didn't realise it was that. It didn't compute as that in my head. So I just spoke about it and people were like, oh, you don't normally talk about that. It's like,
the first song I ever heard about suicide was, or in that manner, was Magician's Assistant.
Yeah.
And it blew me away. And I've heard other songs about that kind of topic, but never addressed in that way.
Yeah.
And it really opened my eyes to look at things in a different way and go, hang on, we don't have to look at it in this way, in this morbid, shh, you're not allowed to talk about it way.
Yeah, completely.
Let's just open it up.
It's an ever-evolving dialogue as well. It's individual, it's different for every person. So again, the more people talk about it, the better. Because I get a lot of messages about Magician's Assistant and it blows me away and it means the world to me. But equally, I didn't solve it in Magician's Assistant. That's one discussion, one theory, one view. My views have changed and evolved numerous times over the years, but that's the point of it. It's meant to, it should be out there and people discussing and going into these things. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the discussions on it and bringing it out there and raising the awareness. Thank you.
No problem at all, and thank you very much. Cool. Cheers.
I'm here for the stickers as well.
Stickers. Hello, sir.
You all right?
I'm all right. What is your name?
My name's Joe.
And how are you, Joe?
I'm not doing too bad, thank you.
Good, good, good. And what would you like to discuss?
Yeah, there was like quite a lot of things when I was standing down there that I was thinking of mentioning to you and just chatting with you over. I think one of the lads down there is going to do the comics question.
Excellent.
So I thought I would be asked about some stuff about movies.
Yeah.
About cinema. Before that, though, about what to do with your mortal remains. I think one of the key things to do is just dick with future archaeologists as much as possible.
Yeah.
Get yourself buried in plate mail, iPhone, in a burial mound, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Just do weird shit. Stuff your hands inside chickens.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just... And your feet inside, yeah, like dogs.
Yeah, but then have
and then
like...
lay down and go to sleep. They'll be like, what the fuck was this with the fucking fly hands?
Just a KFC bucket on the head or something, yeah, you know, just whatever.
That's cool. I'd say we do that with one in every 100, yeah, body, because yeah, no offence to the guy who needs donations, I'm happy to lose someone every now and then for that gag. But 99 we use to save people, and one we go, let's fucking do weird stuff. No, I agree.
First question for the cinema stuff. Are you planning to do some more stuff with the Prince Charles? Because it's just next door, and
hopefully,
I didn't manage to get down to seeing it.
Though. Hopefully, if I have time. It's really tough, because things like that. Because I've got this podcast, I talk about a lot of stuff, and a lot of people hear about it and go, that sounds cool,
yeah,
but that's all that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was a few in there where we had really not very good turnouts. And for me, I don't give a fuck.
Because
to be honest, I'm doing it because I want to watch films on a big screen.
Yeah.
And I've found a way to make that a business choice.
Yeah.
But for those guys, they're a business and they have to make money.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hope to do stuff there again. I think it's right that we've taken a break from it.
Yeah.
We originally took a break over Christmas and then I got a role in Taboo, so I couldn't commit to any dates going forward. So yeah, it's a tough one, but I love that cinema. I'm walking past there earlier, genuinely. I walked past like three times and peered in and like, man, I miss it. I need to get back in there.
I was just really upset they didn't have any more of the flyers for what's going on in the next few minutes, but they're doing a triple bill of Back to the Future that I'm really looking forward to.
They're brilliant. They do all their triple and double bills and things like that. And that was the thing that annoyed me, because my film club, because again, I don't own their company.
Yeah.
So they're willing to go, you can put a film on. You can't plan a whole month of films. Yeah, so it's not your job. And I'll be like, I want to show this and then this and then this. They'll be like, fucking build your own independent cinema company through years of hard work and then get to do... Oh, all right, fair play, I agree, you're right. Yeah. So, yeah.
Next question was, you and King Arthur.
Yeah.
I know a few people who worked on that and like either doing extras work or doing props work.
Yeah.
Two questions on that. A, what was it like to work with Guy Ritchie? And B, did the beard help get the part? Because I've had a few jobs recently thanks to the hair.
The beard got me the part 100%. Guy and his casting director hit me up saying, we're doing this film, we're into your music and your podcast, would you like to audition? And again, I should actually clarify that. It got me the audition.
Yeah.
And I think that's been a key thing for me to learn, because I was all conscious that I'm jumping queues and getting ahead of people who've been working hard for years. Yeah. But the fact is, the hard work I've done in other industries for years are getting me the audition. Some I'll get and some I won't. Like, I've had some now that I've not got. It was weird. The first three auditions I had, I got all of them. And they're all these amazing things. But, yeah, just working with Guy Ritchie was absolutely mind-blowing. Yeah. Just seeing and having... It sounds so weird, me saying it, but having directed all my music videos and that for a long time, it was amazing seeing genuinely a true master at work. And love or hate any specific Guy Ritchie film... When Lockstock came out, that changed the game in the UK, and Snatch and all of these. Yeah. And yeah, just seeing him just stroll on, hands in his pocket, like, I'm not sure about that line. Shall we, let's mess about with it a bit. And there's like 200 extras on horses and they're filming it with a helicopter that flies over. And he's just like, it's just not working, is it? Shall we? Just casual as anything. And then, and literally, that actually happened on my first day. And he's there, and he just goes, oh, Pip. And comes over, and I'd not met him. And he's like, oh, I'm glad you're involved in this. I'm like, I don't want to hold anything up. It's a field full of warriors, and that helicopter still seems to be up there. I don't know what he's doing, but yeah, it was absolutely amazing. And throughout the first day I had dialogue, it blew my mind that there's me, Neil Maskell, Charlie Hunnam and a few other lads and Guy, and we all just go on set, and before they settle the cameras up, they're like, let's just fuck about with the dialogue a bit. Yeah. And I'm like, what? I've learnt my three lines and I'm ready to do my three lines. And we just messed about a bit. And there was one point that we changed the dialogue completely. I don't think I told my mum this, actually, but we changed the dialogue completely, that the reason me and my crew of clan heads had come onto the or had come there and were busy was because it was my mum's birthday. And I had to go for my mum's birthday. And we just, out of nowhere, just wrote this whole thing. And Guy was finding it hilarious that it's big, tough blokes. And the only explanation is like, I've not got a lot of time. It's my mum's birthday. And we wrote this. And then it was weird because we went for ages on it. And then got to the point where they went, we've gone too far in Guy's messing about. Yeah. And away from this is a film that's serious and epic. So again, he knows the balance on that. Yeah. So he'll mess about, then go, right, that doesn't work. Let's go back to the script, or let's tweak it here and there. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Have some stickers.
Could I be cheeky? You can grab two from my mate. That's the
yeah, yeah, help yourself. Have a few. Hello, sir. What's your name?
Rory.
Hello, Rory. And what would you like to discuss?
I was just wondering, have you got any particularly weird or awkward situations that have happened with podcast guests or fans?
Weird, awkward situations? Not really. On the Jericho one, I forgot to record it. Like, we got 10 minutes in and I hadn't pressed record. So that was awkward. I've mentioned before the Dylan Moran episode. I don't think me or Dylan enjoyed it. And I don't think it was his fault. I've got no issue with him. It was a real last minute one. I was recording three that day. All I was borrowing a studio over the road. And at the last minute, one of the guys at XFM said, look, we've just had word that Dylan Moran's about. Join him for the podcast. And I was like, yeah, but I hadn't had tons of time to prepare for it, and he probably hadn't been told that it's not a 5 minute radio slot. Mm-hmm. So I'd ask these long questions and he'd kind of go, yeah, I guess. Yeah. And I'd be like, right, cool, and on to the next one. And so again, it wasn't his fault, it wasn't my fault, but that was the most awkward I felt. I really felt, again, he wasn't prepped for a podcast and I didn't have enough there to comfortably go, alright, cool, on to the next one. I was like, I'd try and drag more out of each question when maybe he didn't want to discuss it or whatever. So, yeah, I guess that's all I've had, really. Can't think of that many more other awkward ones. If you're going over to gigs, then, I mean, anyone who's seen us live will know I toured with Dan Lesac for 8 years. Of course there was tons of awkward moments and uncomfortableness. Dan has a wonderful habit of drinking and saying incredibly offensive things on stage. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love him for it. Everyone loves him for it. There was a period where he'd spend a lot of time implying I was gay, which I'd always just go with because, again, I don't want to give any implication that gay is an insult. But it did just mean we had long periods of time where everyone thought I was pulling loads of dudes at every gig, which I wasn't, but I wasn't going to argue against it either. So, yeah, it was like one or two dudes a gig, if that is like the most. But, yeah, so, yeah, they're the kind of the most awkward bits, I guess.
Okay. Time for one more?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm starting to have one of their moments. I'll be honest with you, Rory.
Glad I could help.
go ahead.
Yeah, so you've done a lot of different things in your career, but are there any kind of new directions you're looking to take it in or new things you'd like to explore in the future?
It's never particularly planned. I'm loving going into acting at the moment. I've got like four scripts I want to write, and I've been crazy lazy on them. And everyone always talks about how much I do and how much stuff I put out. There's still loads of time. It annoys me. I don't get shit done. But there's one script in particular that keeps keeping me awake, but in the best way. I'm planning some really cool scenes. So writing a script, I guess, is the next one. And a novel I've been working on for like legit probably 16 or 17 years, which is too long to be working on anything. There's a couple of people in the room who've seen parts of the novel or read bits of it or whatever who will be stunned to know that I've spent 17 years on it. But yeah. So there's always things I want to kind of keep working on and creating. I'm too old to become a wrestler or mixed martial artist, so they're off the list. But other than that, who knows what's ahead?
Cheers.
Well, thank you very much.
One quick thing.
Go ahead.
And this has nothing to do with the lovely shoe designers who are sitting in front of me, but yep. Who designed your wonderful shoes and when are they coming out?
So me and who? I don't actually know when they came out, but I've... These guys, based end of when? End of September. So that's good to know. But yeah, no, we kind of, they originally hit me up about sponsoring the podcast, and then we just got talking, and they sent me some of their shoes, or sent me a link to their website. I was like, man, I really like your stuff. This is like really good. And then we got talking about designing a pair, and I back and forth over email saying I like kind of dark trainers. I always wear high tops or boots, but because I've got big feet, I think it's nice when they're kind of slender and like a sleek design. And then I went in and sat down with him, and we went through fabrics and designs and all sorts of different things, and it went well. And this is the first ever prototype pair, which I'm wearing right now. I've already stepped in something. Fucking hell, I have, haven't I? It was that homeless guy earlier. Didn't really kick a homeless guy. I'm selling that too much. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for that question. Cheers, man. Have some stickers. Who's next? Now, I'm going to be honest. I don't think we're going to get through everyone, just because we do have to do the sign-in as well. So we'll get through a few more. Maybe the next three there. Is that okay? Are you last two all right to just chill? And we can have a little chat if you come up and when we're getting stuff signed. Yeah, man. Stay there and you'll get first signatures. That's a good shout. So we'll do these three, and then Stu, if Stu's about, and then we'll wrap things up, and then I'll sign stuff for you all. Hello, your name?
My name's Alexu.
Lovely to meet you.
And you, how are you doing?
I'm good. What would you like to discuss?
So, we touched a bit earlier on sort of, democracy in the UK.
Yes.
And one of the things is kind of, prisoners, for example, not having the right to vote.
Yeah.
So I just thought, what is your view on generally prisoners in the UK having the right to vote in general elections?
I mean, it's a so much deeper question, because you look at...
Sorry.
But, I mean, it's not a simple thing. I think our prison system is fucked anyway.
Yeah.
And we put people in prison for stupid shit. Mm. Again, the law enforcement's against Prohibition podcast Stop and Search talks about the lives that are ruined for putting people in prison for choosing to ingest something.
Yeah.
Which is mind-blowing that's a crime. They're not forcing you. It's a different thing with drug dealers and things like that. I can understand that. I'm still against it, but I can understand it. But someone choosing to take something and they can go to prison for that, it's fucking mind-blowing. It's stupid.
Yeah.
So again, it's kind of looking at... I can easily see why you'd say... Let's take the easy example, a paedophile. Mm. I don't want them. I want to take away all their rights. I don't want them to vote, things like that. I don't know if I agree or not on that. But what I do think is, as said, the amount of people we've got in prison for the amount of things we've got in prison makes it completely unjust that no people in prison get to vote. Because there's so many people there who I think their view is valid. In fact, they could be voting for a party that will help change the law that has put them in prison, and quite rightfully, you know?
Exactly, because there was this piece of EU
legislation. That wasn't bad, considering I've not thought about it at all. I just styled it out. Go ahead.
But no, it's just there was EU legislation that was saying that we had to give prisoners serving a sentence of under 4 years the right to vote, because they're going to be rehabilitated back into society.
Mm-hmm.
So they should vote for the party that they're going to go back in for.
Yeah.
But then it seems a bit hypocritical, the drugs debate. If you're going to sort of legalise one, why not sort of go for everything?
I agree.
Yeah, it's a minefield.
it's interesting on that, they're going to be in society in 4 years, so they should have a vote. So, I mean, we should take the vote away from people who are old as fuck and about to die. Because genuinely, it's been something that's fucked up our country a few times in a row where... And again, I don't genuinely think that should happen. Calm down. I'm not really saying that. My mum and her old friends are all getting angry. I'm kidding. No. It is something where we've seen in recent years where important votes have gone through and the majority have been... through older generations versus younger generations. So it's tough if it's something that's going to affect us for 10, 20 years going forward. It's really harsh to think that there's a majority of people who will have to live through that for the rest of their life or for a longer period that are living against what they want. If you know what I mean, it's similar with the Scotland thing where it was such a close vote where right now there's a whole load of people who are having to live under something that so many of them didn't want. So, again, I was joking about old people and that, but don't take the vote away.
You have to reiterate that, I was joking.
Yeah, don't take their vote, just put an age limit on humans anyway. just make it all work out. Anyway,
Excellent.
I'm not even looking over in my mum's direction now because I'm furious. But
I'll take that cue to go.
Well, thank you very much. Cheers, thank you.
Thank you, cheers.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Brilliant. You use the mic. I like it. What is your name?
My name's Shannon.
Shannon, nice to meet you. And what would you like to discuss? I believe it's been queued up that we're going to discuss comics, which excites me.
That is exactly correct.
Brilliant.
I mean, there was one thing first.
Yep.
I was talking to my sister about what I would say if I got a chance to speak to you.
Yep.
And she brought up, we were at a gig with you and Dan Lesak.
Yep.
there was during the beat that my heart skips, you jump in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
I have to apologize because, I mean, obviously I'm going to touch the legendary beard.
It happens.
You moved a little bit forward. I think I pulled your beard just a little bit.
It happens a lot. People get really grubby with beards. It's strange.
It's a pretty impressive beard.
I've trimmed it right back, which, this is only for the people who paid the expensive tickets to see. People on the podcast don't get to see my clean trim beard right now.
Oh,
but
yeah. I mean, I dread the day you ever shave it all the way off.
I will at some point, and honestly, it won't be as big a deal as people think. It's right. What it is we've got this stuff that just keeps growing, like regardless, unless you're one of the bald people in the crowd. That wasn't a sly dig. But like, if I cut it off, what'll happen is it'll grow back again.
Yeah,
and it'll be all right
in like a day. I'm sure.
But yeah, if I took 2 months off of the podcast, because that's the only place I take selfies, I could have no beard and none of you fuckers would know.
That's true. It'd
be great. I just make no deal of it. But yeah, what would you like to discuss comics-wise?
I was talking to him and I guess he was going to ask a question about comics.
Yeah.
But I'll do it instead.
Yes.
I just wanted to know what your favourite comic book stories were of all time.
I was saying recently online that I really want a good Venom series and a good Ghost Rider series.
Venom.
I really like both
Spider-Man's
of them.
Venom.
Yeah. I love Venom.
He's getting a new book soon.
Is he?
Yeah, I think they're rebooting. I'm not too sure.
Well, they rebooted him a little while ago with Flash as Venom.
Yeah.
And I loved that. I thought that was great.
I thought it was amazing. Yeah.
But I also loved the Lethal Enforcer era with, obviously, Eddie Brock. And when they cast the skinny kid from that 70s show as Venom, I was kind of confused. Him as Carnage would be dope. But I'd love that. I've heard that Ghost Rider is coming into...
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're doing the newer Ghost Rider, the one who has the car.
Yeah, where it's a dude of a car, which is sad because I love Dan Ketch and Johnny Blaze. But actual full stories, so I guess full runs, Preacher.
The best book ever.
Love Preacher.
Everyone read Preacher. Everyone.
But I love Boys. I think I love Boys more. The comic.
He said it.
I love The Boys, but it doesn't make it any better. I just love The Boys.
I still haven't read The Boys. It's
brilliant.
It's high up on my list, but it's pending.
I think I prefer it to Preacher, and that's, again, the beauty is they all exist. I hate it when people are like, is this film as good as that film? It's like, they both exist, man. It's cool.
It's like, I don't know if you've read Saga.
I love Saga. I'm really enjoying Saga.
I love this audience.
Are you reading... A Wicked and Divine.
I'm not reading Wicked and Divine. I've heard Mitch.
Shit, man.
Reviews.
It's brilliant.
Really?
It's right. Really good.
I'll give it a try.
It's really good. Honestly, weirdly, I don't know if it's because I started reading it at the same time as I started reading Saga. Mm. I feel if you like Saga, you'd get this. And they're not similar, but there's similar leaps of faith in them as such, I guess. But yeah, it's really good.
But the debate about whether you prefer The Boys or Preacher, it's the same with Saga or Why the Last Man.
Yeah, I love Why the Last Man, that's great.
Yeah, it's like I can never really choose which one's better or how they feel because they're so completely different.
Yeah, it's tough. I also love Sex Criminals.
Sex Criminals.
The book, not just Sex Criminals in general.
Oh, you were talking about a book. No, Sex Criminals in general.
Yeah, the book's great. I'm reading and catching up on the moment. I like Rat Queens. It's a really good book.
They look so amazing.
It's really good fun. It's an exciting time for independent
Image
comic books.
Image is just as big now as Marvel or DC, almost.
Yeah, and it's wicked because I think it's a hugely exciting time for Marvel and DC films.
Yeah.
And not as much for the comics, but it's opened it up to be exciting for Image
the independent
and all these
market.
Other ones.
I mean, Valiant now Dynamite, were Valiant, like no-name 2-3 years ago, but suddenly... Their market's massive. It's bigger than almost every other independent label.
I love it. Anyway, 4 people have fallen asleep. So have you got...
yes, sorry.
Is that everything?
That's everything.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for a bit of a comic nerd out.
I love that. Have some stickers.
Hello.
Hello, sir. What is your name?
My name is Gareth.
Gareth. Popular.
Some fans are here.
So nice. The Gareth crew's in the house. And what would you like to discuss today, Gareth?
Music,
Excellent.
Weirdly enough.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I used to listen to you and Dan Lesac a lot growing up. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I was listening to a lot of Sage Francis and B. Dolan.
Yep, who are both at the Edinburgh Fringe at the moment. I recommend everyone go to that. Not necessarily everyone in the room, because we're as far from Edinburgh as possible, but for people listening on the podcast. But they're in London as well. They're doing a spoken word show and a music show separately in September, so go along to that. Continue.
It just seemed like out of nowhere you just jumped on board Strange Famous Records,
yeah,
and then you guys were just doing music together, and it was just...
That was exactly it. It was legit out of nowhere, and it was all down to MySpace.
MySpace?
Because me and Dan...
Shout out to Tom.
Dan, shout out to Tom, my first friend. Me and Dan Lesac were on MySpace, and we started to blow up, and someone had sent Sage the video for That Should Always Kill, like a friend he went to college with or something, was like, I'll check this out. And he checked it out, and he came to our page and he saw that we had him in our top friends because we were a fan. And he said, I just wanted to say that's cool, I'm into your stuff. And we kind of went, that's really cool, do you want to put our record out? And he was like, yeah, I do. I was like, all right, well, let's do that then. And now I've released his music and B Dolan's, and we've all done songs together and collaborate. It's crazy. I did a John Kennedy's a radio show the other night, and they do a podcast of it if you want to catch up on that. And we were discussing on that, because I brought in some Sage Francis and B. Dolan and stuff to play, and it was a really nice trip down memory lane, because I realized that these were CDs I bought at their shows before they knew who I was. I think the Sage one, before, it's going to sound really deep, but before I knew who I was. Before I'd started performing as Scroobius Pip, so it was great to have these tattered old things that I'm playing to John to go, yeah, these are my mates who are in Edinburgh at the moment, and they're doing their Fringe show, and then they're in London, and it's, yeah, it's mind-blowing. It's crazy how that stuff works, and again, it's the beauty of the internet now.
So as that's clarified, do you have any funny stories involving you, Sage, and Dolan?
Oh, God, there's loads. There's embarrassing ones. Again, I'd go back to when they didn't know who I was. I found... I was looking for an email from Sage, and Sage has had the same email for years, and I did a little search in my Hotmail, and I found an email from like 4 or 5 years before we knew each other, and it was me as young, cool Scroobius Pip trying to get the attention of Sage Francis. And I don't think he remembers it or will understand it or reference it. If he listens to this, he might be able to find it, but it was hilarious to read, because I swear so much to try and be cool and laid back. It's all like, just, hey man, I know you're busy and shit, but I got some music if you want to check it out, that'd be cool. If not, who gives a fuck, kind of just like all casual and that. And then, yeah, thankfully he obviously didn't tie that into to me, or he would never have worked with me potentially.
That could have been a deal breaker, really.
And B. Dolan, God, I love that man more than any man should love any other man. But we've had loads of memories. He used to enjoy in the UK. We banned him from sitting in the passenger seat of the tour van, because he'd wind the window down and shout at people. And one of his favourite things to shout at people was racist. He's just driving past, and he's big, and he just go, racist! And then we'd drive on, and he did that. We'd done Coco, I think. It was the first time we'd sold out Coco. Oh, no, Scala, actually. It was the solo. It was the first... a solo headliner at Scala, and I wasn't in the van at this point because I'd already gone to get the train home. Just sold out Scala and a solo gig, getting the train home to save money. And he shouted a racist at a car full of skinheads, and then they sped off into a red light and stopped as the skinheads got out and started to come towards him. And they managed to wind the window up and leave before it escalated, but yeah, B is kind of the king of that.
Nice. Thank you very much.
Good old B. Dolan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers. And the last guest.
No pressure, Oro.
No. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm full of Oribo.
Yeah, aren't we all? And what is your name?
Amy.
And what would you like to discuss?
I was just wondering. I'm absolute novice to podcasts. Yours is the first one I've ever listened to.
Brilliant. Good
cracking
choice. Yeah.
Other one I've been... All right.
I do. Please tell me about it.
The only one I've ever been recommended other than yours is the Mortified podcast.
I've not listened to it.
It's basically where everybody like dishes out the most embarrassing teenage stories that they have.
Wicked.
Like really creepy.
Oh, was there like a TV? I'm sure they did a little TV series where it was like, reading out your diary.
Yeah, it was like, I think it started in America. Yeah. The one that I listened to, it was really American cringy. But I think they turned it into like a theatre show over here. So we're just wondering, if you were on Mortified, what would your Mortified story be?
Oh, God, I don't know. I didn't keep a diary, so I don't remember much of my youth. When I was at college, so I wasn't even like a kid, but I was at college, and there was this girl I liked. Her name was Jodie. And I got a number before the holidays. I was like, I've got a number, yes. And then I bottled it the whole holidays on ringing her. So I carefully got a pen and changed one of the numbers on the number she'd given me to look like an 8 instead of a 6. And then when we went back after holidays, I was like, I tried ringing you and stuff and just couldn't get through and just pretended I had the wrong number. And then she was like, no, you've clearly just... you just edited that, is what's happened there. I was like, yeah, cool. So we never had a date or anything.
You never got together?
No. It's all right, though. On that bombshell.
I've got one more.
Go ahead.
So, serious. Yeah. Think about it. Mm-hmm. Would you rather go into battle with 100 duck-sized horses or one...
I would probably go. I'd.
You can't wear shin pads.
Wasn't gonna. I would ride the horse-sized duck.
Khaleesi.
To fight the duck-sized horses. I mean, that question has never had a good answer, if I'm completely honest. I've seen Reddit. There's no funny answers to that. But, yeah, thank you very much.
Yay!
Thank you for coming along. Cheers. Yeah, have some stickers. Thank you. Nice to meet you. Right, Stu. It's Stu here. I fucking told you when you were coming up. You're just casual, just stay in your seat. Lazy. But let me explain what's going to happen. After I've chatted with Stu for a bit, we're going to have a quick re-edit of the stage. Originally, I was going to go off for a bit, but as it's all quite late. Basically, if you've got a book and you like it signed, just come up and I'll sign it. And if you haven't, then you can just leave. That's fine. They're going to do it a row at a time, I think. So they'll start with the first row, then the second row. You know how a row at a time works. I don't need to talk you through that. That's basically it, if that's okay. And I'll sign anything, have photos. There's going to be a member of staff here to take the photos for you so you can hand them their phone. It's all going to be lovely, and we're going to have a wonderful evening. Okay? Excellent. So, how you doing, Stu?
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you very much. I'm really pleased that I managed to find a way to make sure you're the only person who didn't get a round of applause as they came up.
I very nearly just stood there.
Don't. Fuck him. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right. I had a big glass of wine, and then I had 2 pints of Murphy's. I've had 3 wheeze. Keep making them people down there stand up and move.
Oh, unbelievable. I'm on the water. I've got an advantage over you.
Do you know what?
Great.
When you said you were on the water, I was going to get you a... Let's not start calling it Scroobius.
A gin and Pepsi Max is a Scroobius. It's the new cool kid drink. Let's talk a bit about the drunk casts.
Okay.
Because they've been good fun, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they're really good fun.
They've been an annoying success to me. Yeah.
It really, really does amuse me that, like, you have all these really kind of cool people on your podcast and they're all really successful. And people seem to really like the fact that, like, you just come and sit in my shed. And, we talk dick jokes and just mug each other off. It's great.
Yeah. The thing that made... I was thinking about it earlier today and I remembered the point that I knew the drunk cast would work, or what made me think that'd be interesting at least, was when we... So a lot of you know that we do a club night.
Yeah.
And when we were doing it at Proud, which is in Camden, just... I'm not a fan of Proud.
Nor me.
To be honest, I didn't enjoy it there.
Bad.
Anyway. No, I didn't like it. Let's not slag off individuals, but there was some weird sleaziness and dark stuff going on. Let's not get any slander going. But we were doing it at Proud, and... I turned up and I had a new sleeveless denim jacket, which I was very pleased with. I bought it on tour in Belgium. It was a limited edition. I was very pleased with it. I'd added a few of my own patches. And Chris wasn't there yet. And the thing that really shows what kind of friends we are was you text Chris to let him know in advance so that he could prepare to mock me.
Yeah. Yeah.
For my sleeveless denim jacket. So I was like, well, that's good. This is gonna work in Drunkcast. And then also that night, that same night, often we'll post pictures on social media of like, oh, it's a packed night, it's really good. I took a photo of you asleep on stage and posted that as a great night, everything going wild. And, yeah. You know, God bless a Carol. I mean, awake, you're a handsome man, but asleep, you're...
It's not
fucking
good.
It's like Thanks. Droopy. It's just, it's hideous.
Do you know what, Ra? I completely forgot about the waistcoat, but I can't tell you the excitement.
Let's not call a sleeveless denim jacket a waistcoat. Let's have some goddamn respect for biker culture.
But you know what it's like? If like it's that schoolboy thing that if your friend's got something new that secretly you think's quite cool, then obviously you've just got to rip him. And so like that's kind of what we've done. But there's nothing cool about getting in a car and you just think, oh, ponytail. And,
you were very excited when you first saw
and it was just genius that the fact that when we did do the last ponytail at the top, because we all can kind of keep little notes on our phones about what to talk about in case, like, we just get so drunk and forget where we are. So we gain little pointers and stuff. All of us had shit ponytail.
At the top, including
and,
me.
And denim jacket with sleeves and studs.
Yeah, I'd got a new denim then as well. Studs on, only on one side.
That's right.
Only on one shoulder. And I wore that for the podcast because I was like, let's just get it in there. Let's just get it over with. What was the other thing I was just knowing? Oh, I'd also wanted, so you've... We've known each other a fair old while,
yep.
But we got to know each other more properly from doing the club nights.
That's right.
Prior to that, we knew each other a bit, but when I started to get... I'm getting to a story here, I promise. It's like him being a bit drunk makes me feel drunk now and I can't string a sentence together.
This, at some point, you're going to be horrible to me, aren't you?
No, I'm not. It's sure? kind of... It's going back to when I've been horrible to you previously.
Okay.
So that doesn't count. I had started to get a bit of coverage with my music and that.
Right.
And then there was an exciting moment where I got a big interview in Mixmag magazine.
Yep.
And everyone was excited to read it. And you read it. And how'd that go down for you?
Yeah, I mean, I just thought, there's Pip. Well, he's doing all right, isn't he?
Yeah.
He used to come watch my band. Look at him. He's bigger than my band.
Yep.
And doing really well. And slated my club.
Yeah, two of his clubs.
Yep.
And it wasn't intentional.
Was it worse gig or worse club?
It was a bit of both.
Yeah.
So what had happened, and it's tough, man, because it's one of them things where it was a long interview and then they edit it down to a little soundbite type thing. And it just happened. I talked about loads of stuff, but one club we talked about was the Pink Toothbrush.
Yep.
And I talked in detail about how me and my friends... one of us would pay, and then it'd go right round the back, open the fire escape, and the rest of us would sneak in.
Yep.
And that wasn't great for you. And then the other one, they asked worst gig, and I gave this long answer about a club called the Fat Surfer, and tons of people who are Fat Surfer are loyalists all hate me still because of it, because of that Mixmag thing. I'm fine with it, fuck them. So I just gave this long story because... I played a gig there once, and I was in a covers band called Royston Illa and the Motherfucking Posers, and I played bass. And I got to the gig, and we'd done one gig there before, and it had gone really well. Then we did another one, and I got there, and three different exes of mine all turned up, all who I hadn't seen, and I just got hammered because I was like, I can't deal with this. I then couldn't play the bass. I was the bassist, so I just was pretending to play for most of the gig, just drunk, just going... Just pretending, and blah blah blah. I told this story, and I was like, "That was my worst gig," and they had it as basically worst place you've played. Fat Surfer, Grays. I was like, "That's not the full story. That was a bad gig because I fucked up." But it did just mean that the first time I was in a club magazine, the two venues that you were running at the time, I slated them both. But we've pulled it back with the club night, and whatnot, right? We do all right. We get by.
We have some fun. It's really good fun.
The club night is mainly, or the journey there is just me and you talking about MMA and, again, abusing each other.
Yep.
Have you got anything? Because Chris was meant to be here.
Craig.
Don't... spoiler alert. But he had something better to do, essentially.
I think he's in Sweden making a video.
He's in Sweden.
Not that sort of Swedish video.
Actually, he sent me a voicemail this morning, if you'd like to hear it. Eh? If this will play... Oh, no, it's not going to work because of airplane mode. Hang on. I might just play you the voice message I got from Chris this morning for my birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear David Peter William Alfred Mee.
It's not my name.
Happy birthday to you. Good luck with your that shit book you've done today. Oh, I'm currently on the side of the mountain in Sweden. It's awesome. Sorry I can't make it. It's just costing me loads of money. I should have thought more about this before I recorded it. Take care, mate. Love you. Bye.
That's there quite sweet. That's quite sweet.
Right, wasn't it? Obviously, he doesn't know I'm going to play that, but...
No.
He made up all them extra names there. Just slung a few in. How have you found it with Chris on the Drunk Cast? Because we destroy that poor boy.
Yeah, it's...
We joke about it on the podcast a bit, but he really gets beaten up over it. He feels really bad. He always gets too drunk and then feels genuinely guilty the next day.
But that's really good, because on the last two... the first one, I think I'd work quite early the next day, so I didn't get too drunk.
Yeah.
And but the second one, I had no work the next day, and we all got quite trashed. Because obviously, like, no one gives a shit about me and Chris, because we're just Pips mates. He's got a career, and I was just thinking, I had that kind of thing, I just thought, shit, what did I say last night? And I had that real pang of anxiety where, like, you get really, really worried and stuff. At that point, I get a text from Chris going, fucking hell, man, I was really bad last night. And I just thought, I know exactly how to ease my own anxiety. And I was like, I phoned up Chris and I was like, fucking hell, man, you was out of control last night. And he was like, seriously, I didn't think I was that bad. I was like, no, mate, you was. Like, literally, me and Pip have been talking about it this morning. And he just fell apart. And I just had no cares about my anxiety then, so...
After the last one, because me and Chris always get a cab home together afterwards. He'll just make a lot of noise outside your house for a while first. And we got a cab home, and he was telling me in the cab he's decided that he really needs to listen to more Skunk and Nancy. And then was trying to sing a specific Skunk and Nancy song to me. And then I get out at mine and grab my bits, and I just hear him go, all right, mate, to the driver. He's like, I'm going to get him in the front because I think you want to chat. And then he jumps in the front for a chat. I was just in my head, I was like, the driver hadn't said a single thing the whole time, was clearly avoiding the drunk idiots.
Oh,
I think you want to chat. So he got in the front and got the rest of the cab home in the front with the cabbie. But yeah, well, thank you very much for coming on, Stu. Oh,
thank you.
And yeah, that's it.
You've been listening to Scroobish Pips Discretion Pieces.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.